As I was saying just a few moments ago, Barry has had to take their daughter to the hospital again today. They tried to do a spinal tap, a lumbar puncture last week, but it didn't work. They tried three times. So they've had to take her again to the hospital today. And then next week they start 2 weeks of radiotherapy. So we just want to keep praying for Barry and Anne and Candice, their daughter, that they would really know that they're surrounded by their father's arms. But this evening I want to talk about this living in the centre of his affection. A few weeks ago I read Psalm 127, and just when I'd finished reading it, I felt God just say one little sentence to me, and I'll tell you what that was when we've read the psalm together. But it's just one of those things. I was just read the psalm, just thinking about it, and then, I really knew that God spoke, and that just sort of opened up for me this whole topic of what it means to dwell in the center of his affection, to place our lives right in the center of his love. So just let me read this. This is Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. He grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And when I read that just a few weeks ago, I just finished reading it, and the little phrase that went through my mind was, "I don't want workers." And I really felt that was Father speaking to me and saying, "I don't want workers." And I thought, okay. So, and then I just sort of thought about it and prayed about it and just saw this psalm as a contrast between the heart of a son and the life of a servant. You see, when God says he doesn't want workers, that's absolutely true. He's got enough workers. He's got enough servants. Heaven is completely full of servants. We read that the angels are ministering servants. They're sent to serve you and me, which is just a tremendous encouragement, you see. And so heaven is just full of servants. It's full of workers who will do the Father's work. And when Father said to me, "I don't want workers," what he was saying to me was, "I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be a worker. I don't want you to have the heart of a servant. I want you to be a son." See, Christianity is not a works-oriented religion. A lot of the other religions, the world religions, they're based on, what you do, and the more you do is what makes you a better person, or it guarantees your place in the afterlife or whatever. But it's all focused on what you do and how you behave and how you live in order to reach this certain standard or this certain level. And the problem with that is whenever we reach that level, the goalpost always moves higher, and we try even harder, and then we get there, and then it goes even higher still. And we're just left in this continual cycle of trying to become someone or to make our lives something as a result of our own hard work and persistence. And Christianity is not about that. Christianity is simply about a relationship. It's not focused on our productivity or our performance. It's not about building, the temples of man. And so when we read this psalm, the psalmist is saying, unless it's the work of the Lord, it's a waste of time. Anything you do with your own hands, anything you do with your own effort, anything you do out of this sort of engine or this motor house inside of you is a waste of time. You know, what the psalmist is saying here is you get up early and you stay up late, you work hard, but it's all in vain. You know, you're trying to build something and it's just a waste of time. But if it's the Lord's work, if it's the Father's work, then it's completely different. And the problem is so many of us have this sort of driven mentality that we're just working hard, trying to perform, trying to please, trying to produce something, trying to build something with our name on it that looks good. And at the end of the day, you know, Christianity is not about that. It's not about being a servant. It's not about being a worker. It's not about working hard. You know, all those things, as we've read in that psalm, they're a waste of time. See, what Father is looking for is people that would let him do it. And I'll come on to that just in a few moments. But you see, sometimes I think we think, oh yeah, Christianity is just a family business. It's just like I'm working in the family business. I'm working in my Father's business. And we kind of use that as an excuse almost for the busyness and the productivity we're trying to achieve. And it's like we think, but it's okay because I'm working in the family business. I'm working in my Father's business. And so we kind of have this excuse that it's okay, whereas actually we're still settling for second best. You see, Christianity is more than the family business. In Luke chapter 15, we know the story. It's a story of, it's called the prodigal son. But it's really the story of the two lost sons and the story of the incredibly generous father who goes out of his way to try and win them back. And, you know, here we have in Luke chapter 15, we've got a family business. And the older son is working in the family business. And he's working hard. And at the end of the passage, at the end of the story in Luke chapter 15, he comes to his dad and he says, I've slaved for you. I've worked hard for you. I've done everything you ever asked, but you've never given me anything. He says, I've been faithful in the family business. And the father says, but you've missed the point because everything I have is yours, you know, and I've given you everything, but you haven't been able to receive it. And here's this guy working in the family business and he's completely empty and he's completely unhappy and he's living a very, very unfulfilled life. And, you know, it's very easy for us to think we're working in the family business, and we're working for God and we're doing it for him. And yet we can be like the older son. We can be empty. We can be unhappy because what we haven't done is we haven't received the gift that was given to us. We haven't received the inheritance that Father wanted to give us, that Father wants to give us. And we can be working and working and working away. But yet with inside each one of us, there can be an emptiness, there can be an unhappiness, there can be a sense of being unfulfilled. And, you know, actually, this excuse of working in the Father's business is simply that. It's just an excuse. And it's settling for second best. See, it wasn't just the Father's business in Luke chapter 15. It was actually already the elder son's business because the father had given it to him. The father said, this is yours. But that boy, that older son, was unable to receive it. He couldn't receive it in his heart. And so he carried on living his life as a slave, as an orphan, as a broken individual. And, you know, going back to the psalm again, where the psalmist writes that, here the psalmist writes, unless the Lord builds a house, it's a waste of time. Unless the Lord watches over the city. You know, unless we're involved in the Father's work as a son, then it's a waste of time. If we're simply being a worker, then everything we're doing is just going down the plug hole. You see, we don't have a religion, thank goodness. You know, we don't have a religion, but we have a relationship. We don't have to achieve anything, we just have to receive what has been given to us. We don't have to succeed or triumph through labour, but we succeed through rest. You know, we win. You know, Jesus says that if you come to me, he'll give us a life of rest. And, you know, that's the key. And the trouble is so many of us try and succeed through our hard work, succeed through our performance, succeed through all the busyness of life. But, you know, we don't have to do that. We don't have to achieve anything. We just have to put ourselves in a place of being able to receive, simply because it's all about relationship. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. And that's what we really, really just need to hold on to, that it's not activity. It's not what we do, but it's who we are. It's how the Father sees us. He doesn't see us for what we do. He sees us as his sons and daughters, because that's the relationship that Jesus has won for us and has brought us back into. See, God's not looking for a whole load of workers who will do everything in their own strength. Because what happens then is we tend to push him to one side, and we think we can do it ourselves, and we can make it happen. And all that happens is we end up being worn out, losing heart, losing vision, losing perspective, and just feeling like the older brother, where we're empty and broken and wondering what the whole point is. See, God's not looking for overseers who don't have his heart. He wants people in positions of you know, leadership, whatever, who have his heart, who introduce people to this life of rest, who introduce people to this life of receiving, who introduce people to this life of rest, and so on. And he doesn't want people who are striving and teach other people to strive. You see, our own effort leads to us being worn out, and it leads to everything becoming a burden and hard work. And, you know, I've been in that place. You know, I've been in that place where I've worked hard for God. I've been in that place where, you know, we planted a church, we were leading a church, we were, you know, we were out, I was out pretty much every evening of the week, leaders meetings or other meetings, house groups, and seeing people and trying to take on their problems and resolve them and sort them out and help them along. And I don't know what I did. I don't know how much good I did through all of that. But I do know I didn't enjoy my Christian life. I do know it was hard work. I do know it was, I just got to the stage of thinking, is this what it's really, really all about? And I got to that stage where I thought, there's got to be more than this. And, you know, I was actually quite good at doing it in my own strength. I was actually, you know, I could give it a reasonable go. I could help people. I could help them sort their problems out. I could help them with their issues. I could help them with their stuff. And I was pretty good at it. But it was just me. And one day God said something to me, which was initially I thought was quite an encouragement. He said to me, he said, "Mark, I will bless what you do. I will bless what you do." And when I first heard that, I was really encouraged. I thought, yes, 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 you know, God will bless what I do. But what happened then was he said the word "but." He said, "I will bless what you do, but." I thought, oh no, here it comes. And he said, "but it will be limited to what you can do." I will bless what you do, but it will be limited. And that is so true. That is something I've really discovered, that God is so generous. He's so kind that he blesses what we do. He blesses the work of our hands. He blesses the stuff we get involved with. And, you know, generously we see things happen because he is a good God. But it is always going to be limited. It's always going to be limited to the extent of our own ability. And, you know, he will bless it. He will put his favour upon it and we'll feel good about it. But it's always going to be limited. And God said to me after that, he said, you know, I'll bless what you do, but it'll be limited. And then he said, if you get out of the way and let me do it, you will see much more fruit. And that's really what I've tried to do over the last few years, is get myself out of the way and say, Father, what are you doing and how can I work with you? See, this psalm that we read, it contrasts workers with sons. You know, it talks about the striving nature of being a worker and how everything we do is just a waste of time. And then it talks about sons. And I believe not only is it talking about sons, but it's talking clearly about sons and daughters who are a gift. We're given a heritage. We're given the promises, the inheritance, and the authority of the Father. See, that's what a son and daughter gets. They get what belongs to the Father comes to the children. And if we move ourselves from being workers into our true identity as sons and daughters, then we can live in all of the promises, all of the inheritance, and all of the authority of the Father. See, I think authority has become a really dirty word in the church because it's been abused and misused. But the Father wants us to live in a place of authority. He wants us to take authority, not as servants and slaves, because they abuse it and misuse it, but to take it as sons and daughters. And when we do that, we live our life like Jesus lived his life, and we will see things happen. But it's you know, authority in the hands of a son or daughter is incredibly powerful. Authority in the hands of a servant or an orphan is incredibly destructive. And, you know, here we are as sons and daughters, and we can stand in these promises, this inheritance, and this authority of the Father, and we can see the Father's work being done, and it will be productive and it will be fruitful. In the psalm it says, sons are like arrows. And the thing I felt when I read that is like, you know, when you fire an arrow, you aim it at the target and it goes in that straight line towards the target. And, you know, depending on how good a shot you are, depending on whether it hit or not, but it's focused on where it's going. And what I felt Father was saying is that, you know, sons are like arrows. They're focused on the Father's business, the Father's work. They're effective because it comes from that place of rest rather than that place of striving. See, God doesn't want workers. God doesn't want people who fly off in all directions doing their own thing in their own strength. But he wants us to be like Jesus. And Jesus was totally, totally focused on his Father's will. It's like he was like the arrow that was totally focused on what his Father has said and what his Father was doing. And I believe that's what the Father wants us to be like. He wants us to be sons and daughters who are like these arrows that are focused, single-minded, in a sense determined, but that determination comes out of this desire within our hearts to do our Father's will, so that we can be like Jesus, who said, Father, what do you want me to do today? And then we just fit in with what he's doing, and our life becomes a lot easier. It comes back to that place of rest and peace. You see, all these workers are living outside of the center of the Father's affection. The older son in Luke 15, who was working and slaving away in the family business, he had taken himself outside of the center of the Father's affection. As far as the Father was concerned, the Father still had both sons in the center of his affection. But both sons had taken themselves out of that place. And, you know, when we are living in this mentality of being a worker and a slave rather than a son, instead of being focused because we're dwelling in the center of his affection, we're just all over the place, getting worn out. And when we come back to that place of living and dwelling in the center of his affection, where we're planted in love, where we're rooted and grounded in this vast ocean of love, it changes our life completely. So instead of not being, you know, instead of seeing a limited amount of fruit, we see fruit, and we start to experience what Jesus said in John chapter 10, I think it was, that he has come that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. And, you know, it's like we begin to enjoy that life. Instead of, you know, feeling like we're floundering around and struggling, we begin to enter into this full life where we can actually start to enjoy ourselves. And it comes from this place of rest. It comes from this place of knowing that we're centered in our Father's heart, and we're receiving just that life source from him. And then we just say, Father, what do you want to do? And then we can just, you know, easily slip into what he's doing and work with him. See, God is a Father who provides for those who choose to rely on him. See, if we don't choose to rely on him, then he'll leave us to provide for ourselves. You know, yeah, he'll step in occasionally and help us. And yes, we'll feel his blessing. Yes, we'll feel his presence. But it will always have that edge of drivenness with it. But when we choose to rely on him, when we choose to rest in his arms, then we come right underneath and into the full provision that he has for sons and daughters. See, a lot of people have this real problem about rest. They think that rest means you don't do anything. A lot of people think that a life of rest is just sitting on the sofa, putting your feet up, watching TV and doing nothing. And that's one of the main criticisms people level at us within Father Heart Ministries. You know, they say, oh, you're talking about a life of rest, you're not going to do anything, you know, and it's like you've just become couch potatoes. And that's just so far removed from the truth. It's incredible, because a life of rest is not about doing nothing. A life of rest is the reward as we live in harmony with the Father, and as we walk with him, and as we do his work, and and as we live out of his presence, it brings our hearts to that place of rest. And when we're in that place of rest, it's not a question of doing nothing. It's our heart within us has gone into neutral, because we're resting and trusting in our Father's arms. We've come to that place where we realize that it's not down to us. It's not down to my own strength or my own ability, but it's down to him. And it's just that little word, trust, that we've chosen to trust him. We've chosen to put our little life in his big hands in order that we can receive the life that he wants to give us. Rest comes when the striving of our heart ceases and we begin to live in his peace. You know, he has promised to give us a peace that passes all understanding. You know, the peace that he has for us goes beyond anything that we can think about with our minds. It's a peace that we can't make up. It's we can't make it happen. We can't force ourselves to get into it. But it's a supernatural impartation of the peace that is in the Father's heart coming into our hearts. You know, the Father always lives in total peace. have to say, I've stopped watching the news so much as I used to. You know, I used to listen to the news in the car in the morning and in the car in the evening on the way home. And I've stopped doing that now because, you know, you just listen to it and there's so much bad news and there's so much stuff going on, it robs you of your peace. At least that's what it was doing for me. And I get, you know, I get enough of the news. I can see the internet when I'm at work and, you know, I know what's going on in the world and so on. But I just decided that I would stop feeding myself on this because it was taking my peace away. You know, we got one of our daughters is in Israel and she's just sent us a text today to say there was a terrorist attack on the tram stop, one stop further down from where she got off. And it's like, you know, Father, thank you that you're protecting my daughter. But, you know, I'm not going to get in a stew about her living in Israel and all the things that could happen. I'm just going to trust my father and her father to look after her. We've got another daughter living in Northern Ireland. And, you know, some people say, oh, Northern Ireland. But, you know, it's not like that anymore. And she's just having a great time. And it's just, you know, I'm just trusting that Father will look after her. And it's you know, we've got another daughter who climbs mountains and hangs off ropes and things. And I think, you know, Father, you know, you'll look after them. And, you know, this peace that he gives us, you know, when he looks at the news, well, he doesn't look at the news because he knows what's going on. But, you know, when he looks at what's going on in the world, our Father doesn't lose his peace. You know, when he looks at everything that's going on with all of the IS terrorism and all the shocking attack in Canada today, you know, that doesn't make him lose his peace. And what he wants to do is give us that peace that he has in his heart into our hearts. And then when we live in his peace, we come to this place where our heart is stilled and quiet. Like the psalm, like King David said, my heart is stilled and quieted like a weaned child. And we come to that place where we allow the voice of love to speak to us. That's what it means to live in the center of his affection. It's to come to that place where our hearts are filled with his peace, the peace that comes from his heart, and we allow his voice of love to speak to us. And you know what I really believe will happen is joy, which is another part of the fruit of the Spirit, joy will grow in our hearts. And that's, I think, one of the things that we've really, really missed out on is joy. You know, I look at so many Christians and I think, you look so miserable. And yet we should be the happiest people on the planet because of who our Father is. And I really believe that as we come to this place of peace and this place of rest, then joy will grow in our hearts. And I've decided, I really have, that I actually want to live with more joy in my life. You know, I'm fed up of having a joyless life, but I want more joy. I want more peace. I want more of everything like that. But, you know, just this sense of a joy that surpasses, you know, knowledge and understanding. And, you know, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's like if we've got this joy within us, it just somehow empowers us because we're living in this place close to the Father's heart. See, God doesn't want a blind obedience that comes out of duty or obligation. He doesn't want us to reduce this precious gift of relationship, right? He doesn't want us to reduce it down to this level of just doing stuff and working and striving. You know, when we do that, we lose sight of him and we settle again for trying to earn or win his favour. And, you know, we can never earn his favour. We can never earn his acceptance through our own work or our activity. We receive it as our hearts rest in his love. And if we're honest, all of us, I guess, would stick up our hands and say, yeah, it's easy just to get back into the old way of doing, of working. But he doesn't want workers. He really, really doesn't want workers. He wants sons and he wants daughters. And, you know, we so easily lose sight of it. We so easily sort of fall back into the old way of doing things. And yet, you know, he wants to keep drawing us back to that central place where we're living in the center of his affection, where we listen to that voice of love. And suddenly we know that we're accepted, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. It's purely and simply because of his love that we are his children. The world around us may not recognize it, but that's who we are. You know, John writes, doesn't he, see how great the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called children of God. And that is who we are. See, the world around us doesn't see it. They don't get it. You know, maybe many people in churches don't see it. They don't get it. But the truth is, the truth for you and the truth for me is that we are sons and daughters. We don't have to live like slaves or orphans, but we can live as sons and daughters of the Father in our true identity and in our true inheritance. See, he wants to draw us into that place. He wants to draw us away from the busyness of our own desires, the busyness of our performance, and he wants to lead us into this place where we are at rest and at peace in the centre of his affection. And I really believe that when we find that place, our lives become infinitely more fruitful. It's like something inside changes, and instead of us doing it, it's like his doing it. You know, remember what I said just a few moments ago? You know, Father said to me, I will bless what you do. And that's absolutely true. He really will bless what we do. He really will shine his favor upon what we do. But it's always, always, always going to be limited to what we can do. And when we look at what we can do compared to what he can do, there simply is no comparison. And I'm just so glad he said that to me, because I'm learning to get out of the way and let him do it. And, you know, the amazing thing is he said to me, if you get out of the way and let me do it, your life will become more fruitful. It's like, how does that work? You know, he's doing it, but my life becomes fruitful. And I think, you know, that's our destiny, folks. That's our identity. That's who we are. And he wants to take us away from that busyness of our own desires and lead us to this beautiful, beautiful place. He wants to draw us into himself. He wants to draw us into fellowship with him. See, fellowship is much more than simply meeting together. It's, you know, we talk about going to church on Sunday and having fellowship with one another. And quite often, to be honest, all we see is the back of the person's neck in front of us. And we say we've been in fellowship. It's actually much, much more than that. The word fellowship means sort of partnership or communion. It's this sort of interaction and interrelationship and joining together and becoming one. You know, in Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, you know, they committed themselves to be together, to work as one. You know, where one went, they would all go. And it's like, you know, he draws us into fellowship with him, not just in a meeting. You know, I went to see a client this afternoon from work, and sat in their boardroom, and we had this discussion, and it was incredibly businesslike. You know, there was no chatter, there was no sort of friendly banter. It was like boom, 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 boom. Okay, shake hands, end of meeting, go home. And it was, you know, that's not my idea of fellowship. It was a very sort of business-like discussion, but, you know, obviously it's a work situation. There was no joining of heart or anything. But, you know, when Father draws us into fellowship with him, we're not sitting in the boardroom being given our instructions. You know, it's not like Alan Sugar and The Apprentice, where he sits on one side of the table and the apprentices sit on the other. It's not that sort of come, get your instructions, and then go and do it. It's a coming together, and it's a communion of hearts that knits us together so we become one. It's us living in his life. And as Paul says, we really do become a new creation. And he expresses himself, he expresses his life, he expresses his love through us. And that's just incredible. That's this sort of fellowship and union that Father's talking about, that he desires with each one of us, is that we would come into it and become one with him. At the A school recently in Alton, we had Ingrid from Motomioni in Uganda with us, and she got three chairs out of the front and put them in a little circle, and said, "Imagine the Father on one, the Son on the other, and the Holy Spirit on the other." And she said, "We can step into," and she stepped into this little circle of three chairs. She said, "We can step into this relationship." And that's exactly what it's like when we live in the center of his affection. We're stepping into the middle of this relationship with the Trinity. We're stepping into and enjoying that relationship. You know, we're becoming one with him. And you know, when we live our lives like that, it is so satisfying. You know, he wants us to rely on his unchanging love for us, that we really, really can put our hope and our trust in his love. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know and rely on the love God has for us." That doesn't mean to say we know and rely on it up here. It means we know and rely on it down here because we have experienced it. And as we experience it, as we live in his love, we know that we can trust it, and we know that we can put our hope in his love. See, when you have love without the person of God behind it, it's got no substance, it's shallow, and it changes depending on circumstances. Love, even in any love, is a life-giving force. You know, in a marriage, in a family, between brothers and sisters, between friends, it's a life-giving substance. But the love of the Father is this real substance, and it's the purity and the full expression of love. And it's that substance that God has taken out of his heart and he has put into our heart. And that's the life-giving force that brings healing, security, and vitality to each one of us. His love in us becomes the source of our life. You know, the reality is that he's always loved us and is loving us right now. He will always love us. There's nothing that we can do that will cause him to stop loving us, because he is love. And it's like we step under this, you know, we can step under the umbrella of his love, or we can choose to stay out in the rain. You know, and I want to be under that covering of his love, that banner of his love, because I know that's the best place to be. You know, he's looking for a quiver of sons and daughters, arrows, like we said earlier. He's not looking for a large team of workers. You know, he wants sons, he wants daughters. He's got enough workers. And my question, I guess, as we finish this evening, is what would you rather be? Would you rather be a worn out worker or a fruitful daughter, a fruitful son? When we read on from Psalm 127 into Psalm 128, we actually see that Psalm 128 is the fruit, is there a consequence of the fruitful living that comes out of Psalm 127. It brings peace, contentment, prosperity and blessing. And as we live as sons and daughters living in the center of his affection. Instead of living as worn out workers, when we live as sons and daughters, listening to that voice of love, we live a life of peace. We live a life of contentment. We live a life of prosperity, and we live a life of blessing. Let me just finish by reading Psalm 128. And I'd encourage you later on to read both Psalms. Read Psalm 127 and run on straight into Psalm 128. This is what it says. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labour. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Father, we just want to thank you for your love. Father, thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. And Father, thank you that you don't want us to be workers who get worn out trying to please you, trying to win your favour or gain your approval. But Father, you're looking for sons and daughters who will rest in you, who will be filled with your peace, who will be filled with your joy. Father, we really do want that peace that is in your heart to come into our hearts. Father, we really do want that joy that is in your heart to come into our hearts. Father, we just want to put ourselves in that place where we are in the centre of your affection, listening to that voice of love speaking to our hearts. Father, I just ask very simply for my brothers and sisters around the world right now that you would speak words of love into their hearts. Father, that they would feel the tangible presence of your love surrounding them. Father, that they would know that you're closer to them than a brother or a sister, that you're living inside of them, that your life, your love, is the very source of their lives. So, Father, let the richness of your love fill our hearts now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.